this is work that I was going to say was done with Steve, but anyway, it's work that I'm going to present. And it was also done, especially in Newtonian, post-Newtonian part of the work was done with Luc Blanchet and Alexandre Lucier, who's here, and who will be speaking in more detail about some of these things tomorrow. So emerging numerical results. So the numerical results that I'll concentrate on, especially in light of the last talk, are the self-force ones rather than some of the equal mass comparisons for post-Newtonian. And I'm also going to be presenting results that were referred to, but in more detail and different from the ISCO shift. So these are related to the so-called UT quantity and post-Newtonian comparisons with that. And what I'm most excited to be able to talk about is some really spectacular progress since last year when we did give some introductory results on this work at the Kaplan meeting. So since Steve has taken some of my time, I'll try and get onto this quickly. In terms of this quantity UT, which was discussed, and I apologize to people who were not here yesterday, what this variable is was discussed in some detail in several talks yesterday, and it's in published papers, which Steve can tell you about. So UT is a gauge invariant quantity that can be computed in the Schwarzschild circular orbit self-force problem. It can be computed both by numerically and both in the post-Newtonian expansion. And this is representing the post-Newtonian expansion in terms of this mass parameter that you saw introduced in the last talk. So one of the nice things about post-Newtonian is it gives us a direct handle on nonlinear effects that we can't calculate in the first order post-Newtonian expansion. Now, part of the results that have transpired in the approximately the last year or so, or a bit over the last year, is post-Newtonian calculators, and particularly our collaborators on this work, have been able to provide these three coefficients in the post-Newtonian expansion. And I point these out now because one of the things that we have been able to do with our data is to calculate comparable numbers in terms of fitting numerical data to the overall form of this post-Newtonian expansion. This is basically a third order post-Newtonian coefficient that comes from the regularized metric at the location of the particle. Essentially, that's what's required to get that. And these are things that are not so difficult to calculate in post-Newtonian, but they multiply log terms, which have a rather important significance in trying to further this work. What post-Newtonian wasn't able to give us was either of these coefficients, the so-called Fulkian and Fitean coefficients, or anything higher than that. And again, you see at the appropriate order, there are Fulkian and Fitean coefficients that are still missing in the second order piece. But post-Newtonian can give us now these pieces, including the log term and the sort of log term missing here. So we know quite a bit about second order, and that's going to be useful somewhere down the line when we have to try and figure out how much we depend on second order and the tools we have for that involve using post-Newtonian. So what I want to focus on now is this part of the expansion. This is the part that we dealt with. And so there are two sets of results I want to discuss. Those that relate to our work trying to estimate these coefficients, which are known, but we used as a check of our method how close we could come to these coefficients, and also as a check of our error estimates that we were not like 5,000 sigma away from the real values. And then following that, I'll talk about estimates of these and some of the higher order parameters. So what we're doing now in terms of this expansion is putting our finger on post-Newtonian coefficients that are at the moment enough computationally achievable by post-atomic means. Okay. Okay, so maybe I'll just say what has changed since last year. So one of the things that's changed is we did go back and improve the data in a number of ways. One improvement was to get more data over a larger range. Another improvement was to actually be more careful about the numerical computation of the data. It turns out in the regularization in some of the L-sums, these were the integration was not being pushed to its maximum limits in terms of ability. That was quite acceptable for the initial calculations we were doing, but when you're trying to push it as hard as you can, we had to work on that. And I'll mention again that there is, later on, there is some limited scope for improvement. We do have more data. We don't expect fantastic improvement on the scale that we've managed to achieve so far. So here I have two tables. First of all, let me focus on the top table where you see, and we can just discuss this alpha 3 to get the first row. Alpha 3. So this is a result that was published by a questionable person who gave my introduction a couple of years ago. And he managed to get essentially four significant digits on this coefficient at a time when it wasn't known exactly. Following that, at the time when we had this exact known result, we used our available data to get this estimate, which is an improvement. So we didn't use anything more more from the post-Newtonian contributions. We did use better numerical data, a larger range of numerical data. We got a modest improvement. Following the, at the time when we calculated this, we had this coefficient, but not the other two post-Newtonian, not the logarithmic coefficients. So this dramatic improvement from here to here, and these refer to papers in which these results are published, this dramatic improvement came from A, knowing this result exactly. Not knowing this exactly, but knowing the logarithmic terms exactly, which are easy to compute, or relatively easy from a post-Newtonian sense to compute. So we're using easily available post-Newtonian data, not using this coefficient itself, but trying to fit for it, without the higher order log terms. So what's this? What this is really telling you is that the fourth and fifth order coefficients, these are not actually small numbers. They multiply logarithmic terms which change somewhat over our range of fitting. Y corresponds to essentially 1 over r or 1 over x in the previous one. So
x is 1
over
r
of the. Okay, so this is y corresponds to essentially to x with a slightly different depending on q. So what was happening is that these logarithm terms have a major effect on our efforts to try and determine this coefficient numerically. So leaving these out gives us a very poor fit, you know, by several orders of magnitude, quite a few orders of magnitude. So simply putting in the logarithm terms gave us these extra digits in this coefficient. And so what we're reporting in each of these calculations is an estimate of our error, where this is an estimate of the error in the last digit shown. So this was a level of confidence based upon the numerical scheme. And here we have an interesting comparison. We have the exact results. Here I've given the actual, the precise numerical values for those two logarithmic coefficients expressed in a slightly different expansion. And here I give our numerical estimates Our best numerical estimate. So what is required to get a best numerical estimate? What's required is basically, for example, in this case, is to use the exact values of these and just estimate this coefficient with some of the higher order unknown first Newtonian terms, but using this all except the known ones of these. For this coefficient, as I said, we use these two. For this coefficient, we use this one. That was enough. And for this coefficient, we use both of these. So what you see is we estimate them with modest error, but this column is not our error estimate. This tells you the accuracy, that is how far we are off in this digit from the real answer. So what you see is very sobering. Our numerical estimates are consistently something like a factor of two smaller than our precision. If you go back to here, that's also true, and you see what's really very heartening is that as we improve, our error estimates go down, and the fact that we're off doesn't change dramatically. So while this is wrong by a factor of two, it is a good estimate of the accuracy that these best results that we can get have. And so then using those best results, or using the analytic results, we can push to calculate the higher order first Newtonian coefficients. So here, the best use that we could make of our data was to estimate far coefficients, and you see we're not getting very good accuracy down here. It's of the order of a little better than 1%, but here we're getting relatively precise values for these unknown post Newtonian coefficients. So these are now something that can go into a post Newtonian toolbox, essentially, and these are one of the things that I would argue are going to play a role in the future generation of waveforms, both directly, as Leo was talking about yesterday, but also using post-Newtonian, or what I would call enhanced post-Newtonian, by some means, in this case, using coefficients that can calculate numerically. Now, I said we had some limited scope for improvement. So what's really the reason why we can't do better than this is because the post-Newtonian coefficients, like go back to this expansion, what's happening is the higher order coefficients, or we've estimated these. So higher order terms in the coefficients are of comparable magnitude, and essentially separating them over the range that we have data for is very difficult. On top of that, they are strong functions of, this is y to the 6, we have terms of y to 7 from y to the 8. They really only have non-zero values over a very small range of our data. And if we focus on the range where they apply, we find that, so this gives you some idea of where that range is. So this is an estimate of the error from our computation. This is where different post-Newtonian terms fall below that error as we go up to large effective radius. So you see the post-Newtonian terms that we're able to compute only are above our error, our computational error for a very small range, and terms are of comparable magnitude at the very limit that we can go to. If we try and go to higher, so estimate more coefficients, or we try and go to smaller R so that we have more data, we have it's difficult to get numerically. But the real problem is that the post-Newtonian, the number of post-Newtonian terms that you need at small R is growing rather faster than we can fill in the data. So the number of terms is growing. They're non-zero over a small range, and the logarithm terms essentially don't change very much over that range, so it becomes increasingly difficult to numerically distinguish them. So we're up against a hard wall. We may be able to do somewhat better. We have a little more data. But in practical terms, I think we're close to the limits of what you can do with this type of calculation. I think the kind that Leah was talking about yesterday still has scope for a considerable improvement. Or Leah and...
We have very similar problems.
Sorry?
We have very similar problems.
Problems, yeah. Well, we will. And so I got it. So I said a lot of these points yesterday, so I don't want to dwell on them too much because it's getting close to coffee time. So I would argue that certainly being able to push post-Newtonian to the point and push your own work to the point where you can calculate a post-Newtonian result and you get an error, an accuracy which is consistent with your error calculation, is a really hard test. And more than that, being able to push your data past post-Newtonian to get coefficients that are post-Newtonianly not computational at the moment is pushing the comparison into a domain where we can hope to make further use of it. So one of the things we're all obviously in the long run hoping to end up with waveforms. The waveforms that Leo gave yesterday, for example, don't show in spiral. I was actually, given what Tanya said, it may well be possible that there are ways that we can bridge that back without going to EOB or something like that. But I would argue that still post-Newtonian is going to be required to show us where the further comparison with post-Newtonian is going to be required to show us where the difference between waveforms calculated using self-force input and waveforms that depend on second order pieces that are supplied from post-Newtonian, where that difference becomes something large enough that we have to introduce a second order part into our self-force calculation. I think we still need to be able to make that comparison with post-Newtonian, and that requires a lot more work of the kinds that we have done and other people have discussed and presented. Okay, well, I'll stop there, and thanks.
So maybe a couple of questions. I think I saw you.